Morning. All right. I hope you guys had a good weekend. I hope you had a good week. My hope also is that you discovered last week of an opportunity to be on a journey with God. And what we talked about last week was the Israelites being on this journey. Pharaoh let them go and then decided, no, we want your free labor, right? And then God just kind of leading them what seemed like in circles and crazy ways. And us not understanding where God wants us to go or how God wants to lead us can be confusing. But knowing that God is in control is what the whole thing is about. Allowing God to drive us, to lead us, is key, right? Today I'm going to talk about, you'll find our passage in Matthew. It's 5:41, all right? And the subtitle of this is, Are We There Yet? All right? Anybody ever heard those words come out of their kid's mouth? Are we there yet? 20 years of youth ministry. I love saying 20 years of youth ministry. I love that. You're going to hear that through my ministry being here. That's going to be a constant thing because there is 20 years of stories that I get to share that are crazy stories, right? I would say the first 5 years, I would hear, are we there yet? Or guess what? 5 minutes into the trip, I got to use the restroom. And eventually, my heart grew callous to those two sayings. Hey, I got to use the restroom. Are we there yet? And I had a program answer for both. I need to use the restroom was, okay, we'll stop at the next one that I see. And I would purposely close my eyes as we passed exits down the road. I'm a mean youth pastor eventually, all right? And then what happened usually is like they say, hey, I need to use the restroom. I'd say, I'll stop at the next one I see. And they would forget until about an hour down the road and go, hey, I realize I got to use the restroom still, right? My answer for are we there yet was, yeah, go ahead and hop out. It's obvious we're not there yet. I just thought you deserved a dumb answer for a dumb question. If we're still going, right? Just my thought. I think on the journey with God, we have a time where we say, are we there yet as followers of God? That we have this thought process in the journey with them that I'm ready to just take a moment and be done with this journey that you've called me on. And some of those journeys are very, very difficult. Healing relationships can be very difficult. Loving people that are unlovable can be very difficult, right? And you are called to these journeys with God. And many times I think we are saying, you know what? I'm already there, God. Can you not get us there already to where we need to be at our destination so I can say, I've done my part. I've been a faithful servant. I'm ready to move on. And I want to tell you that is not the attitude that we need to have when coming to following God. So if we come with the attitude, are we there yet? I want to figure out a way for us to change our heart, to change our mind, to approach that destination, to approach the journey with God in a different way. And we have the Sermon on the Mount here. And this is the where Jesus is saying, it's no longer eye for an eye. All right? If somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. It's not a very easy thing to say. If somebody beats you up, if somebody talks horribly about you to you, it is very human of us to put up a fight, to be ready for our comeback, right? In this moment, Jesus is preaching and says, listen, I'm in control of this journey. I'm in control of this. If you want to follow me, you put down all your pride. You put down all the things in which that you think you are owed, and you follow me. And so you have this moment where he says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2. First off, I don't live in a world that anybody I think that I know of is forced to go 1 mile. Instantly, it takes me back to PE where you're forced to run the mile. Horrible day in school. I don't know about you. I was sweaty and smelly for the rest of that day of school, right? It's just horrible. I can't imagine if the coach said, okay, the PE teacher said, we're going to do 2 after the 1 mile that you thought you were just going to be done. That last lap, getting done, right? That's the one that usually I would sprint. And I'm like, okay, I got to get under this time so I know that I don't have to do this again. And so you sprint and you're there at the end. And can you imagine the PE teacher, all right, we're doing 2 now. And if you want a good grade, if you want an A and not fail, guess what? We're doing 2. I think I would sit down. I don't know about you. Now, I wasn't out of shape in school. I loved soccer when I was here. We had horrible tryouts during soccer. I think it was the goal of the coach to make sure everybody threw up every morning. You ran that much. Conditioning was a thing. But I hated running around a track because I felt like I needed a ball in front of me. I hated running in circles. I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. But I can never imagine a PE teacher going, if I was a PE teacher, it'd be fun. All right, we're going 2 now. Oh, all the faces, I think it would be just miserable. I think the teacher would probably get emails from parents going, "How you tortured my kid this morning." Right? I think spiritually, we live the same way. And Jesus taught this sermon for a reason. That if somebody forces you to go with them 1 mile, I think it's easy for us to go, okay, I did that. But he's saying, I want you to go with them 2. And what does that look like in our lives like that? And I think when we go that first mile, we have that tendency to say, hey, are we there yet? I'm done being with you. I'm done serving you. All right, it's time to, you have your life, I'll have mine, we're good. And you have God going, okay, listen, we need to change some thoughts here. And I want to give you an example, and it's again, we're doing the whole theme of like being on a journey. I gave the sermon about running out of gas before. You guys didn't hear about it. I ran out of gas in my Jeep that I had a long time ago. I had to give that Jeep up because my wife hated it because I ran out of gas with her. And she had brand new shoes on, and we were nowhere near a gas station. So we walked about 30 minutes. We ran up to a house, and the guy was out mowing. He's like, hey, is there a gas station in this town? And he goes, no, we don't have a gas station. Where's the next one? Oh, it's like 10 miles down the road. Oh, boy. And he said, oh, hop in my car. I got you. And he took us, we walked about, 30 minutes, right? And it took us an hour because he decided to loop us around. And I thought, oh, we're dead. We're dead. We just hopped in a car straight. It was nighttime by the time we got back to the Jeep. Oh, no, my wife, if he doesn't get us, my wife is, right? And from that point on, she did not like that Jeep. The fuel gauge didn't work. So it was always a guessing game if we were going to be making it to a place. I enjoyed that. I'm demented. I know. All right? So I told that at another church. The staff heard about it. And then we made a challenge. All the guys in the staff made a challenge. The newer cars now have this miles till you're zero gas, right? So we made a challenge of, like, who could get to 0 without filling up? Yeah, we're dumb. I know it. So it was a challenge from that point on, right? I enjoyed it. I decided the time that I was going to compete in it, we were driving from Decatur to Champaign. That's about 30 to 40 minutes, right? And there's not really any gas stations. If you know that route, there's not many gas stations along that route. If there is, you have to go into a town that's like 10 minutes off the exit. Well, I had exactly 30 miles to the gallon till I zeroed out. And I thought, all right, this is the challenge. It's me and my wife. This will add some stories right here. We made it to Champaign. As I pulled into the gas station, it hit zero, and I took the picture, and I posted it, and I said, I win. All right? Now, my wife, on the other hand, I took a picture of her, and I said, I lost. All right? She's not here this morning, so I'm able to tell these stories. But just like my mother-in-law, she doesn't like it when we run out of gas. I don't understand it. I think it's fun. It adds an adventure to the trip, right? I think we need to invest in AAA just because of me. I enjoy that stuff, all right? It gives a challenge. It gives life a new journey, right? Now, I never have done that in youth ministry. I didn't want to be caught on the road with 30 kids. Not my fun thing. Now, if it's on the road with just me and wife, I enjoy it. I think spiritually we live this way, teetering on empty spiritually when we follow God. And I think some of us are okay with it. I think that we are not ready and prepared to go the extra mile with people because spiritually we're on the verge that we can barely make it through this week being with people 30 minutes at a time. It's hard for us to love people the way God has called us to love. I admit it. But when we are on that verge of being empty spiritually, there's no way we can do it. We become defensive, argumentative, our responses are not loving, they're brutal, and we're ready to snap back. Anybody feel the same way sometimes? They come home and you're going, I'm exhausted, I'm done with everybody in this world. You talk to me, good luck to you. Anybody ever walk into their house going, I want to pre-warn you? I want to tell you right now, I think this is a more common experience that we have, even spiritually, because the fact that we are not ready to even be prepared to go the second mile with people, we're not even ready for the first mile. Because everything within that thought process that Jesus is telling us in this chapter right now is how to be a servant and how to put ourselves to the side and look at the needs of everybody else around us. That's what it's about. And when I want to tell you right now, we can look at other scripture. Mark 6, 31 through 32 says this, then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. Now, this is Jesus and his disciples, and he was hanging out with tons of people at that time. He was healing people, he was feeding people, and his disciples were part of this, and they were exhausted. It was so busy being with people that they weren't able to eat. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. I want you to come with me by yourselves. I want you to know this is the way we fill up spiritually. The more time that we have with Jesus, the more time we have with God, and him filling us up by ourselves, and we're intentional about it, we are ready to go that second mile. And I think some of us, we're already aware of being forced to go the first. I think a lot of us live on the journey with God, not oblivious to everybody else that God has put before us. Do you hear that? I think God has put random people in your life, coworkers, family, grocery store workers, anybody in those moments that you can have a connection with God in them, and if you listen to their story, if you listen to their heart, if you hear what's going on, you've had opportunities to go 1 mile, not just two. Can you imagine what it looks like to go the extra mile with somebody that just forced you to go the 1 mile? Like, I call it the truck syndrome. If you have a truck, raise your hand. Don't, because guess what? Once people know you have a truck, right? It's the truck syndrome. Once people know you have a truck, hey, are you free this weekend? I have stuff to move. Right? It's how it is. My best friend got a truck, every weekend became packed. He was also a pastor. How can a pastor say no? Hey, you got a truck, man. That's awesome. Can we use it? Can we? We got something. Okay. Guess what? Spiritually, we are called to be truck people. And the problem is we're riding on zero, empty, and we're not ready to even be aware of the people that are calling. We're not ready for the people to say, hey, can you go 1 mile with me? Not alone us say, hey, how else can I help you? What else do you need to be moved? What else needs to be prayed for? What else needs to be taken care of? You see, it becomes easy for us to complain about government and all the things that the government is trying to do. You know, welfare, all those things, everything that helps people that we think, and they're just trying. And my thought process goes to, this is where the church dropped the ball. This is where the church, in the history of the church, should have stood up and been the answer from the get-go. But we weren't ready to even go the first mile. Do you understand? We are called. These are Jesus' words. If somebody forces you to go 1 mile, go two. And what I'm going to tell you is, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you haven't been doing this, there is no way you can be doing the other. If you haven't been spending time and finding your rest in Jesus, if you haven't been alone in a solitary moment of prayer, reading Scripture, meditating on Him, it becomes just a very selfish relationship between us and God. These are hard words, but to be on a journey, can you imagine? Let's say I got them all packed up. I got my family packed up. We're going to Montana, and I decided not to pay attention to anything that was on the road. I decided not to pay attention to even the directions that we were going. I decided I didn't care. I just wanted to drive. And all the planning that my wife decided to do, all the stuff that we decided to pack up, and we went to a destination that was not planned for. We weren't ready for it, and I didn't even pay attention to the gas or getting the car oil changed or any of that jazz. Who's to blame? I am. I just ruined my family vacation. Right? Now take, for instance, of being on the road with Jesus. He has a plan, and He's guiding us. If we're looking for it and we're desiring to be on this journey with Him, we cannot be selfish when God is in control. Because He's going to put us in situations that He wants us to show His love to the people around us, and that means going the extra mile without even being asked. And not even having the attitude, are we there yet? We don't ask that question anymore. The questions change. How can I help you get there? How can I be a part of this to be the solution that you need to be done? One of the coolest stories I have ever heard is a group of men meeting at Starbucks every Monday morning, and they got to know the barista. And they loved on that barista, and they loved, you know, they each knew each other's names. They knew the coffee drinks. They knew everything about each other. And this group of men decided, hey, that barista, we need to be praying for her without her knowing. And then one Monday, she wasn't there. And two Mondays, she wasn't there. And so they got concerned, and they started asking the manager, what happened to this barista? And the manager told her, well, her car broke down, and she has no way to work, and so she's unable to work right now. And in fact, if she misses another day, I have to let her go. That's just how it is. So they saw a problem. Now, first mile would have been what? Pick her up, maybe even get an Uber for her, figure out a way to get her to work on a regular basis. Maybe even buy the car for her. Fix her car. That's the first mile, right? They pooled all their money together. They bought her a car. And here's the second mile. This is awesome. This is the second mile. And it's because I believe they were in prayer together and they were worshiping God and they were daily in rest with God. They saw an opportunity to go a second mile. And God said, listen, this is a great gift. Now let the manager give it to her. I don't want you guys to take any kind of reward from this. And so they went up to the manager and said, hey, listen, we bought this car for her. Would you mind giving it to her and you take the full credit? It's all on you. And he looked at him and was like, well, wait, really? Seriously? And he did this. And I want you to know, being able to have that moment where you give a gift to somebody and it's life-changing and it's more than they could ever expect, the gift also is given in return of knowing how much that feeds your soul. Do you understand that? And like that moment, guess who was changed spiritually forever? Do you think it was the barista? No, it was the manager. He saw how selfless they were. He saw how God had moved in them, and he wanted it. He wanted to know more about it. If they were not in the Word of God, if they weren't ready and resting in God, they wouldn't even seen the barista. She would have just been another person that made them coffee. And nobody forced them, but they wanted to. And not just one, the first mile, they wanted the second mile. Because they were listening and obeying what God had for them. And again, it wasn't, the glory wasn't given to them, the glory was given to God. When we live this life, we have to think about that in terms of where we are going and how we interact with people. And the greatest sign that we're weary and empty spiritually is how we come home and describe our interactions with people. If you're more frustrated, angry, if you come in ready to kick the door down, and I'll be the first one to admit, there have been times in my life that I go, I can't believe, Trust me, youth ministry has been most, there have been moments. But the moments that I've been prepared and spiritually within, I see the victories more than anything else. I'm excited to go that second mile. Not because I have the strength and the ability to, because I know what God's going to do with it. The stories that I have seen when we go the second mile are life-changing, eternity-changing. People come to know the Lord because God has said, hey, this is where I need you to go. Are you going to follow me? And I don't go with the attitude. If you go with the attitude, are we there yet? Guess what that message is saying to the people that are hearing it? You don't really love me. You're ready to be done with me. The moment that we follow Christ, we become truck people. Ready to go and serve people. Love people. If you remember my first Sunday here, the DS came, Terry Armstrong, he came and he had a plunger and he gave it to me and he told me about what it meant to be a servant. And under that, he said, listen, this scripture about Jesus being on his knees and he washing their feet, right? And it was the time that somebody said, hey, the bathroom's not working. And he thought, I'll just go get you a plunger and you'll get to be able to plunge. And she was gone. And it was on a Sunday morning. Sunday mornings are difficult sometimes for senior pastors because you have a lot going on here and it doesn't, sometimes you're like, oh, this isn't going to match, right? And you got a lot of worries and concerns and he comes back and he goes, she's gone. Well, I guess I got to plunge. And he went in and plunged, right? Jesus showed us the example of what his ministry was in a single moment when he got down and washed their feet. That the kingdom is flipped upside down. We thought we are here to serve and worship a king who will rule over us and set us apart from everybody else in a way that we can go, ha ha, you serve us. Jesus came and said, I am a king that comes to be a servant of you, and if you follow me, you are called to be a servant to other people. We are called to go that extra mile. And to be on this journey, the moment that we said, yes, I want to be on this ride, yes, Jesus, you have control, yes, Jesus, please forgive my sins, is the start of a journey that says, okay, this is how I'm going to use you. The problem is, we're easy to revert back to, this is all about us and all about me. Where God does it the other way and says, it's all about me, and I make it all about everybody else. No matter how they look, no matter how they sound, no matter what they're saying, we love them. And we go the extra mile with them. So I got two questions for you this morning. It's a fast morning. But I think I want us to understand the importance of what we have right here. We're all on a journey. Some of us are just dragging our feet. Some of us have decided the rest stop is the best place to be. Some of us need to be at a point where, you know what, for me to be any good for God, I need to be away with God. I need to be spending my time right now because I haven't noticed anybody the way God wants me to notice them. I haven't served anybody the way God wants me to serve them because I haven't been spending time with God. I know my wife's coworkers. Have I ever met them? No. You know why I know my wife's coworkers? She talks about it. I spend time with my wife. I hear her stories. I know these people through her eyes. I know who Eric is. I know who Tim is. I know some others that she's talked about. And now I care about them. The more I'm with God, I know people that God has been spending time with around my circle. And the more I listen to God, the more I notice the people that God wants me to spend time with and care just as he cares. Maybe you're at a point spiritually, you're empty. You've been playing the game of getting down to zero and surviving. I challenge you this week to spend some time with just you and God. Maybe you haven't been loving in your interactions with people. And I challenge you, seek God first. The closer you are to his heart, the easier it is to love as he loves. Second, maybe you've been doing that. Maybe you've been spending quality time with God, and this is the part where it can't just be a selfish time with God. You have to be aware, if you're filled up with God, you have to be aware God wants to use that energy, that spiritualness, that stuff that he has put inside you, these verses that restored you, to go and do the same for others. Mission trips are awesome, aren't they? Anybody been on a mission trip? They're amazing. They're life-changing. I've been to El Salvador with a couple times with 2017s. That's life-changing. It's scary. But those 2017s were there to serve. This is an awesome, they were there to serve the people in that community. They didn't have much. They didn't want much. They just loved on us, actually. They loved on us. It made it easy to love on them. In our trip, we have a day where we get to go on an excursion, and we did an overnight at this like place that was beautiful. It was a beach retreat. It was amazing. And you have to plan this a part of the trip so you can say that you're visitors. You're there vacationing, right? So under that we're not there necessarily to spread the word of God. We were there to vacation. So you had to go on this beach. It was beautiful. You're on the ocean, and there's just a pool that's all the way there. It's so relaxing. The most whiniest day of the trip was that day. Do you know why? They didn't rest in Jesus. They rested in their own stuff, and it became all about them. Well, I don't like this food. I don't like my bed. I don't like this. And they just left a place that was dirty, grimy, and they didn't whine about it once. Understanding where we're at spiritually makes all the difference. The focus of who's in charge of us makes all the difference. When I approach God in prayer, I want you to know, He wants our petitions. He wants to know our problems and our concerns and our worries, and, you know, He wants to know our deep-seated issues. He does. But when that's all your relationship with Him, He knows that you're not ready to grow. If you haven't been asking, God, where do you want to lead me? Where do I need to go? Who do I need to share your word with? Who needs, you know, Joe around the corner? How can I love him? When it's always, how am I going to pay rent? Somebody talked mean to me today. Work is tough. We can get whiny in our relationship with Jesus, and it's so unhealthy. I want you to know God's bigger than us. He'll hear our whininess, but I want you to know He wants more out of us than that. He really does. To be on this journey, we need to be filled up in God daily. And we need to be understanding what it means to go that second mile. All right? So my challenge this week for you is to identify where you're at in your journey with God. To think about it. To spend some quality time with God this week and go, okay, where am I at? Am I ready to even go that first mile? Am I rested up to be whole and ready to, when people squeeze me, I ooze you, Lord. Or when they squeeze me, they hear all the junk and like, I'm ready to fight. You need to be asking that question this week. And this is the thing, when it comes to your spiritual walk, no pastor in here, nobody can walk it for you. That's between you and God, and guess what we do together? We cheer each other on, we pray each other forward, and we work with each other, and we keep each other accountable. That's what we're called to do together. So ask yourselves these questions, all right? Write them down, put them on your phones, remember them, I don't care. Tomorrow, ask yourself, where am I at in the journey with God? Do I need to find some rest before I get with people? Am I ready to go the second mile if somebody asked me to go to one? Have I even noticed the one that's asking me to go with them the first mile? You see, church, we need to have our eyes open. We need to be ready. If we want to make an impact in our community, if we want to make an impact for God's ministry, we need to be ready. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your Sermon on the Mount, where you challenge us to be more like you and less of ourselves. Lord, I pray that we identify this week where we're at with you. I pray we figure out what it means to be on this journey with you. Lord, I pray that we're ready to be truck people for you. When somebody calls and asks for help, when we notice somebody needs help, that we're ready to say, yes, let's go. Let's do this. Let's bring glory to God together. Lord, I pray that we are a church on the move for you. I pray that we step out of this building saying, okay, God, what is the mission? What is the vision for my life that you have for me and that I can do? And I'm ready and I'm excited. Fill us up this morning, Lord. May we praise you on a daily basis. May we know that you're in charge, and I pray that we trust you with our lives. We do this to glorify your name. Amen. Go and have a blessed week.